Bismillah, alhamdulillah, peace be with you, assalamu alaikum, thank you for tuning in to The Dean Show, always exciting, exciting, every week a brand new show, a brand new guest, and with us today, we know that according to the Guinness Book of World Records,
it's the world's fastest growing religion, Islam.
This way of life that brings peace, prosperity, purpose, gives you purpose. What's the purpose of life? Is it to acquire a lot of wealth, money, entertainment, numbing your mind with music, movies, and then what? That's it? That's all you got? But this person went beyond that. He was searching for the truth, and he found it. But guess where? You won't believe it. This is a surprise. My next guest accepted Islam back in 2003. He was an MP for the U.S. Army. We'll be right back with the surprise guest here to tell us his story. Don't go nowhere.
This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
And back here, told you surprise, Terry Holbrooks, the author of Traitor. How you doing?
Alhamdulillah. It's a pleasure to be here. Jazakallah khairan.
I'm really excited. You know, some people buy a Japanese car, and we buy Chinese every day, don't we? But we don't get people, you know, driving Mercedes-Benz, German car. But when you buy a car, or you buy a product or any of these things from a foreign country, people don't consider you a traitor, do they?
Well, I guess it's the difference between a religion and a car.
But, I mean, this is even more important.
Most definitely.
And you came to this beautiful way of life, the way of life that Jesus lived. Jesus was a Muslim. He submitted to the will of God in 2003. But the surprise was, I said, you accepted it in a place that is a scary, scary place. It's out there in Cuba, right?
Correct.
Tell us about this. In 2003, tell us the story. Let's go way back. Then, but you know what? Before we even go to that, we're not going to reveal the place. Some people have heard your story. Many people haven't. What were you before you accepted Islam? Your parents were practicing Christians?
My biological parents weren't religious in the slightest. When I was 7, I went to live with my grandparents due to them having just difficulties with each other. My grandfather was Catholic and my grandmother was Protestant. And being that neither one of them felt that one religion was better than the other, they didn't tell me that I should be a Catholic or a Protestant. They told me I should think for myself. Should study the religions of the world, and I should make my own decisions.
Most people aren't even thinking about religion. You heard me open the show. I said, look, they're talking about partying, numbing the mind with music, entertainment, right? Strip clubs, parties, social gatherings. It's all about fun, 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 you know? And those big parties of fun, big side effects, drugs, you know, people are just all over the place.
Unwanted pregnancies,
STDs, all sorts of corruptions out there, and people are just still suicidal from all this fun, right? Xanax and all the other things. I mean, how did you flip? I mean, did you go through this phase in life?
I had a rebellious streak for a while. It was about the time that I turned 18 that it just wasn't going to happen. I put myself through high school, and I got out of there early. I went to a trade school, the Conservatory of Recording Arts and Sciences. I was 18 years old, and I'd already accomplished this and was sitting around doing nothing. I was going down that path that you're talking about, and that wasn't what I wanted. That wasn't the future that I wanted. I looked on the television, and of course, television was in full swing with the recruitment commercials for the Army. You know, 9/11 had happened, and they needed soldiers. So I thought to myself, that's probably a good step. I can get some discipline, get some structure and order, and it'll look good on a job application for the rest of my life.
Muhammad Ali accepted Islam. He was not considered a traitor, was he? He was a world-famous boxer. He's gone down in history as one of the greatest athletes of all time. And the list goes on. So many people to mention. He was just one of them that came to mind. But why did you call your book traitor? I mean, were your peers? Now you went to the army just because you were someone who chose to submit to the creator, not to the creation. That's what a Muslim is. Abraham was a Muslim. Mm-hmm. He was not a Jew or a Christian. He was one who submitted to the will of God. He didn't worship himself or Jesus or monkey or stars or suns or anything in the creation. You wanted to worship the creator. You became a Muslim. That's what a Muslim is. And you were labeled a traitor. Why is that?
If I could answer that question, I probably wouldn't have used it as the name for my book. The name itself was actually inspired from a Newsweek article that came out back in 2009. I think within 18 hours, there was 3,000 comments in that article, and the majority of them were calling me a traitor to the country, a race traitor, any variation of the word traitor. It was used. And the way African Americans have reclaimed a word that was used against them in a very negative way is what I'm doing with the word traitor. You want to call me a traitor? Fine. I'll embrace it. Explain to me. Tell me, how am I a traitor?
I'm an American. You were American?
Correct.
Did you now accept in Islam? Did you become an Arab?
No.
Did your DNA change or something?
No. To the best of my knowledge, it's still the same.
And most of us here that were born here, I was born here. I love my country. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. You know, a lot of the things that we see out there, because we're commanded to invite people to good, to try to get people away from things that aren't good for them. So to invite people to the purpose of life and to share this beautiful way of life. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah. So let's continue on. Now, is it because you agreed with certain things like 9/11? What are your thoughts on 9/11? We know that this show, that the scholars that we've had, we've condemned it. Maybe you got some, because I haven't talked to you really prior to this. Maybe because, did you agree with things that happened on 9/11?
Did I agree with any act of terrorism? No. Do I agree with what the 9/11 Commission report said is what happened? No. We could go on for probably a good number of hours discussing what I think happened on that day, but okay. It's best if we just leave it as some men did something very horrific, and they did it in the name of Islam, and I don't think any conscious and true Muslim would have done what they did.
And what caught my eye is more than 1,300 architects and engineers examined the evidence about Building 7's collapse and disagree with the official report issued by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. I certainly am much more open-minded about it than I was, and it is because of the involvement of the 9/11 families and all these engineers and architects.
You are about to hear from architect of 23 years, Richard Gage, AIA, member of the American Institute of Architects and founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Now there are more than 1,500 architects and engineers who say that it could not have been brought down by office fires. They are backed by 9/11 family members. We're calling for an independent, unbiased investigation.
I'm a family member trying to find out the answers to the murder of 3,000 plus people. The bottom line is that it needs to be investigated properly.
Please look at architects and engineers. People all around the world, scientists all around the world are questioning this. And there's some deep, deep explaining to do.
It took some kind of consciousness raising on my part before I was willing to look at the possibilities. And really, you need to go where the evidence leads.
As an engineer, and I have 3 degrees in engineering, I signed that petition for architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth some time ago because the American people absolutely need the truth of 9/11.
Look at the evidence. In fact, I'll say this very categorically. Any reasonable person who looks at the evidence that's been brought forward has got to come away with the feeling that something has to be done, a real investigation has to be put forward.
We will never heal. This country will never, ever, ever forget that day. We have to demand a new investigation. I want justice here.
Exactly. Has nothing to do with Islam. That's clear. So whoever did it, you can't hide behind Islam.
Correct.
Okay, because Islam is clear. There's no killing of innocent men, women, and children.
To kill one innocent man, woman, or child is the same as killing every man, woman, and child.
You got it. We're on the same page, my brother. So let's talk about, I'm still confused. What's this traitor thing?
We have to delve into the mind of the average American, you know, the kid that's 19, 20 years old, sitting in his mom's basement playing World of Warcraft. And then he sees an article about somebody accepting Islam in the army, and he says, you know what, that guy's a traitor. That's my critics. That's my reviews.
Because what? You're supposed to be more, patriotic because, you know, you joined the military, okay, and you came in as a what? Do they fill out in the military, like, what religion you are?
We do. My dog tags all said atheist.
Oh, atheist, but your parents were Christian.
Correct.
But then you became an atheist?
I didn't accept what my parents accepted. I was an atheist.
So you were an atheist?
Correct.
Okay, now we got a little more to talk about. Tell us about this. How did you become an atheist?
As I said, my grandparents didn't agree about religion, and they told me to just think for myself, make my own decisions, and study. Yeah. So in doing that, when I read through the Old Testament and New Testament, it didn't make any sense to me. When I looked through the Torah, a lot of it didn't seem to make any sense to me. When I looked into the Eastern faiths, such as Hinduism and Buddhism and Taoism and whatnot, I agree with a lot of their principles and ideas, the same with Christianity and Judaism, but they just didn't strike a chord. They didn't make sense with me. There's something in those books that I just didn't jive with. So taking that into consideration and looking at history, more people have died in the name of God than anything else. Any weapon of mass destruction, any disease, it doesn't compare to in the name of God. And as a result of such, I was not a fan of religion, was not a fan of organized religion, and I took a very atheist approach towards belief. I didn't believe in the ideas of God. I didn't believe in religion. I thought of it as a crutch.
But were you considered, now that you didn't register as a Christian, register as an atheist, you still weren't considered a traitor?
Not at that point.
But you became a Muslim and they considered you a traitor? Amazing, amazing. We're going to take a break, Terry. We'll be right back with the rest of your story. And we still didn't tell you the secret where you actually accepted Islam. This is amazing. You don't want to go anywhere. When you hear this, it's going to blow your mind. We'll be right back. Is your boss driving you crazy? Are you just living from paycheck to paycheck, party to party, and everything is just getting tiring? It's getting played out, and you're asking yourself, what's this all about? What's the purpose? Many people don't reflect on why am I here? You're born to die, and then what do you got in between? It's a big drama. Some days are good, some days are bad. Some days you're sick, some days you're sad.
We might not make it to 85 years old. We might not make it till tomorrow. And this is something that we need to think about. The lights will go on after the party, and the party will end. And you will be alone, and you will have to be accountable for everything you've done. Life is not all about just chasing that man or woman or that good time. It's not all about the baseball game and the basketball game and chasing a position and getting a lot of wealth and money. There's more to this life, and it's up to you to be sincere enough within yourself and to want to know more.
What's the purpose? What's it all about? Life. Back here on The Dean Show with Terry Holbrooks, the author of Traitor. So you went from being a Christian, things didn't add up, didn't make sense. God the Father, God the Son, Holy Ghost, not three but one. So you figure out, who do I pray to, right? You know, times get tough, I'm praying to the Holy Ghost. He's not around, I go to Jesus. And then Jesus, then, you know, the turbulence really hits and people call upon God, right? But when he saves them, then they go back to associating partners. But in Islam, it's pure monotheism. The creator worshiping him alone. That makes sense, doesn't it?
That's the only thing that makes sense.
But then most people now, they get into this. They get into, okay, or all organized religion. Most people become atheists because of
organized religions.
Organized religions. And many of the religions.
Contradictions within
contradictions.
Religions.
But the religion, the way of life that's from the creator has to make sense. It's perfect. There's no flaws in it. You saw the flaws in the man-made religions. You became an atheist. Now you're in the army, and you got shipped to
Guantanamo Bay.
Guantanamo Bay. Get the out of here. Are you serious? Guantanamo Bay? You were a prisoner there?
Camp Delta. I was a guard.
You were a prisoner? No, a guard. I'm just joking. You were a guard. You were, so how did, in all, I mean, you would never expect someone to accept Islam there. What happened?
Wow, how to summarize that one quickly. You know, over 6 months of observation and interaction with detainees is what led me to Islam. There were no detainees that were actively giving me dawah. There were no detainees that were telling me that I was kuffar, that I had to accept Islam if I wanted to go to heaven.
You said some Arabic words now. Dawah, I mean, they were inviting you. No one was doing that.
Right, nobody was
inviting
me to Islam.
You're just thinking, watching.
Correct.
Okay, and what were you watching? What were you seeing?
Just their daily activities, what they do on a daily basis. I found it relatively amazing that, me, with all the freedoms of the world, I could leave work, go have a bottle of vodka, smoke a pack of cigarettes, have a double bacon and double cheese sandwich, and go to sleep drunk and happy, come to work the next day, and I was miserable. But the same people who were in a cage for 23 and a half hours the day before were going to be in a cage for 23 and a half hours that day, and they were waking up with a smile. That, to me, told me there was obviously something big and something important that was the difference between the two of us.
Someone out there is saying, like, look, those are the terrorists. Those people, they hate our way of life. They're trying to blow us up, and you're over here siding with them. What would you say?
I would ask them, how do you think we rounded up 778 people so quickly? Why do you think there's 778 people of which we've sent 640 of home?
They went home already.
Correct.
So they were found not guilty?
Yeah, they were never charged.
They were never charged?
None of the men in Guantanamo have been charged.
So they got let go. They were.
We've sent 78% of the detainees
78% home. So they were free of all these
correct
allegations. Okay.
Correct.
But now you're watching these people, okay? And what happens? Now you're observing them, and talk to us from there, please.
Between observation and interaction with them, asking questions and whatnot, that's what led me. As you can imagine, you know, being a revert to Islam, you have a bunch of questions that you're going to want to ask. Why do you pray five times a day? Why do you pray that way? Why do you pray in that other language, but you speak English when you talk to me? You're a Muslim. Why don't you drink? Why don't you smoke? Why don't you eat pork? Why do you hate music? Why do you hate freedom? What do you think about Christ? What do you think about God? Who is Allah? Who is Muhammad? The questions that you would have as a revert, those are the questions that I had. And more often than not, the detainees would answer them for me simply. Sometimes they'd answer them a few times until I understood. Sometimes they'd answer my question with a question, knowing that if I thought about the question they asked me, I'd realize that the first question I had asked them didn't make any sense to begin with.
Were the other guards asking questions too, like you?
No, I'm fortunate in the fact that when I was in Guantanamo, I was very low in rank. So everybody else who was above rank was delegating the work to me, and then they would go and spend time in air-conditioned shacks and try to avoid being outside and dealing with the detainees. To me, this was great. And Guantanamo itself was a sociological treasure mine. I have a degree in sociology from ASU. Sociology is what drives me. And the opportunity to talk to 778 men from 46 different countries, speaking 19 different languages.
Fits with your degree.
Yeah, there's no way I'm going to let that pass. I definitely had to talk to everybody I could.
So you're a thinking man. And at the same time, were you, you're an atheist now. Were you still, did you have that void inside your heart and you were searching for a truth if it was out there?
I didn't feel any void and I wasn't searching.
No?
I just wanted to know. I just wanted to know and understand.
So what was it that just happened that had you take that step to become one who submits to the will of God, a Muslim?
Probably a two-part for that. The first would have been a particular detainee. He gave me his Quran when we were in Guantanamo, and when I took it home, I started reading it with a negative disposition already. I didn't believe in organized religion at all. So to read the Quran, I thought to myself, here's another book I can put on the shelf of fictitious make-believe. Took me 3 nights to read the Quran, and when I was done reading it, I remember thinking that it was the first, and to this date, the only religious book I've ever read that makes sense. From beginning to end, it doesn't contradict itself. It's an instruction manual for living. So that, coupled with one question that I asked many detainees, that's what pushed me. I asked about 25 of the detainees in Guantanamo that spoke English, how can you believe in God? How can you think there's a God that possibly cares about you? You're in Guantanamo. You don't know if you're going to go home. Your family could have been blown to pieces for all you know. How can you wake up and pray five times a day and believe there's some God that cares about you? Unanimous answer from every detainee that I asked was, this is just Allah testing my deen. This is just Allah testing my faith. The Sahaba had it worse than me. Many people had it worse than me. If this is my test, Alhamdulillah, this is easy.
SubhanAllah, many people take life for granted. You have people there 23 hours a day. What was life like there for the detainees?
You wake up in a cage and you pray Fajr. You have breakfast and you're still in a cage. You pray Dhuhr and you're in a cage. You pray Asr, you're in a cage. You pray Maghrib, you eat dinner, you're in a cage. You pray Isha, you're in a cage.
They were more resolute about their deen, more adamant about their deen, that way of life. They didn't give it up because you would think, like, from your perspective, someone's there and they'd be like, they would like, you know, how can I be here blaming God, you know, and then giving up their religion. But were people becoming more strong in their religion from what you saw?
Most definitely.
Yeah?
Most definitely. I've actually spoken to a good number of the detainees who've gone home, and many of them have told me that Guantanamo was essentially, it was a heaven sent. And when I asked them, like, how can you say that about Guantanamo? There's no way.
You've got to speak to some of them that they
many, many of the detainees.
Where? Like, where did you guys meet? Here in the States? Or?
It's amazing what you can do with the internet.
In the internet, okay.
We send emails with each other. I've been to the United Kingdom. I've been to Saudi. I've been to Turkey. I've been to a number of countries.
So these are people who got released of any kind of wrongdoing. They got sent home, and you got in touch with them.
Correct.
And tell us, what were they saying to you again?
They had said that Guantanamo was a heaven sent. When I asked them, you know, how can you say this about Guantanamo? Mozambique, his answer is probably the best. When in your life will you ever have the opportunity to have 2 years, 3 years, 4 years away from your bills, away from your job, away from school, away from your family, and the only thing that you have is your Quran? He took that time and he made the most of it. You know, memorized the Quran, he knows it inside and out. Many of the detainees did the exact same thing. Guantanamo for them served as a few years away from the world to learn their deen.
Their this way of life,
correct.
Islam, their religion. What about the horrific events that we all heard, we've seen on the news? Were you there when, you know, those pictures were taken and the torture that was going on?
What you're referring to when it comes to the pictures is actually Abu Ghraib, not Guantanamo.
Oh, that's not...
They're distinctly different facilities, but the torture and interrogation that happens in those two facilities is the same. So yes, I was there when those types of things were occurring. Mm-hmm. And I'd be a liar to say that it doesn't haunt me to this day. I wish that I'd done something about this when I was in Guantanamo. The time to have taken action would have been then, not now.
But what could you have done?
Been a conscientious objector. No, I'm not going to do this. No, I'm not going to treat these men this way. No, I'm not going to participate.
Mm-hmm. Are there any people of God consciousness that did step up? You know, we have that captain. Have you met him?
Captain Yi.
Yeah.
He was there with me.
He was there?
With me.
Okay. He's another person that also accepted Islam. He was a captain in the army, right? He accepted Islam.
He was a Muslim chaplain in the army.
He was a Muslim chaplain in the army. Yeah. So what happened next now? You're talking, you left there. Did you accept Islam at Guantanamo or after you left?
Halfway through my time in Guantanamo, I said my Shahada with a detainee.
Okay. So what did that... You know what? We got to take a break. People are wondering, like, what did that entail? Because some people, you know, they know, okay, you become a Christian, you go get dipped and baptized in a big pool and stuff. Was there a pool there? Did you have to get baptized to become a Muslim?
Great time for a cliffhanger.
Yeah, so we're going to be right back to answer this question. I know you got many more. I'm going to try to ask them for you here on The Deen Show with Terry Holbrooks. We'll be right back. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa allahu akbar, allahu akbar. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر الله
Why is our news media foaming at the mouth when it comes to stories about Islamic terrorists, but not white guy terrorists? It's not because Muslims are a bigger threat. In fact, between 1980 and 2005, 94% of all the attempted or successful terrorist attacks on U.S. soil were not carried out by Islamic radicals, but instead by non-Muslims, mostly white guys. So then why the obsession?
Islam prohibits killing of innocent human beings. Human life is precious.
Back here on The Dean Show with the author of Traitor, and we talked about people every day are not by, many people are driving Japanese cars, they're not considered traitors. German cars, you know, Chinese products. You know, we love our country, but you know what? We love God first and foremost. We love the Creator first and foremost. The one who gave us the eyes that we see with, you know, the air that we breathe with. The one Creator, the Creator who created Jesus, Moses. No Muslim is a Muslim unless he believes and loves Jesus. But never did Jesus ever claim that he was God or he said worship him. And it's an article of faith to believe in Jesus. And you obviously know that as a Muslim now, you know, we do what Jesus did. We pray to God. We don't worship the creation. We worship the Creator. And you did that. And that's the part of the procedure to become a Muslim, is to agree that I'm not going to worship anything in creation. I'm going to only worship the Creator. There's nothing worthy to worship but God, and Muhammad is a messenger. When did you take that testimony of faith, the Shahada? Did they have to dip you in a pool?
I actually had many of the same questions. I didn't know if I was going to be saying a funny prayer and a chant, if we were going to have to light incense and candles, if there was going to be a bath, if... I didn't know what to expect, but I knew December 29th, 2003, that I wanted to embrace Islam. The same detainee that gave me the Quran was the same detainee that I said my Shahada with. And at first when I had asked him, you know, I want to embrace Islam, can you help me with it? He said no. He was very adamant about not allowing me to embrace Islam at first. He sat me down and said, do you understand what you're getting yourself into? Do you understand the way your country will look at you, the way your family will look at you, your friends, your army? Do you really know what you're getting yourself into and saying your Shahada? And it, like I said, it was a no-brainer. To see these men waking up and being able to smile and go through each day, and then me having all the freedoms in the world and being miserable, I wanted what they had. And if the difference between us was Islam, I wanted it.
Was this something of, obviously we can't say this was blind faith, because you really, you were looking at this, you know, with an open heart and open mind, obviously. You were asking questions. And do you feel that most people, if they do the same thing, if they take a scientific, analytical approach, and they open their heart and mind, that they'll come to the same realization that you came, that this way of life, Islam, submission to the will of God, is not an organized religion by man or men, but it's the one organized by the Creator, if they give it a shot?
Not only do I believe that, I actually wouldn't want it any other way. I don't think that being out there and being evangelical is an advantage. I think telling people the science and the facts and allowing them to see the proof for themselves, it's kind of hard to refute where the Quran came from when you look into the science of it.
Have you become a better human being after accepting Islam?
I think my wife would say yes. Mm-hmm. I would say yes. I put down alcohol, I put down smoking, I put down a lot of bad habits that I used to have. Become a nicer person, a kinder person. I would say in many ways, yes, Islam has definitely improved my character.
I mean, some people, they think, okay, you accept Islam, you become some fanatic. I mean, how far away is this from the truth? I'm not leading, there's some people leading the witness, but I know people that I sit with who have come from just a scumbag life, mm-hmm. people who had no life, people who had all the money, the most academic, you know, people who are at the lowest of low, but when they came to Islam, now, like you know, your character gets better, you know, you leave off a lot of the vices, you know, what do you have to say to people out there, the skeptics who are like, you know, who are like traitor?
Well, the current statistic is that 1 in 3 people in the world are of Islam, that 1 in 3 people are Muslims. So if that in fact is the case, and you think that all of these Muslims are fanatics, wouldn't America have a genuine problem? Wouldn't we really have something to worry about if 1 in 3 people hated America? I mean, it should be pretty easy to read between the lines and see that the news is lying to us, the media is lying to us, that with just a little bit of intelligence and a little bit of investigation, you can see that Islam's not the boogeyman that it's been made out to be.
That's really sad. When the actual peacemakers, the people of peace, have been made out to be the people of war, because we really are the people of peace. You know, salam, peace is in our greetings. We greet each other with assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. And Jesus, by the way, greeted his followers with shalom alaikum, peace be with you. We pray like Jesus prayed. We worship like Jesus worshiped. I mean, this is the same religion. It's the same way of life. So, you know, it's a shame that you know, even if you look at, I'm sure you know these statistics, you know, 94%, you know, if you look at the FBI statistics, the facts, you know, of terrorist attacks, were not perpetuated by Muslims. Is that right?
Most definitely.
Yeah. So when people see these facts, or do they even bother looking?
I don't think most people look. I think it's easier to just listen to what the news has to say and to watch what the television tells you and to believe that, as opposed to doing a little bit of research on your own. And I hate to say it, but I think that's genuinely what the truth of the situation is.
Before we give, because we just gave people a little taste test about your life, but you actually wrote this book.
Mm-hmm.
Now tell us, what advice would you have for the person that's also in the same situation, man or woman, and you know, they've been to all the parties, they've done all the drugs, hard or soft, you know, addicted to porn, not happy, you know, multiple girlfriend, multiple boyfriends, money, I mean, just like bank accounts full of money, but they're broke in the heart, right? And they just flickering through and they caught the Dean show and they're like, look at these two white guys. Oh, they're Muslim, right? But I like what they're saying. It makes sense. What would you have? But they still got this, you know, this false notion about Islam, you know, Arab in the desert, things blowing up. You know, what advice would you have for this person before we lose them and they turn the channel?
You know, I hate to be so cliche, but take a look in a book, Reading Rainbow. Like, to go back to when I was a child. I don't know of anybody who's ever died from opening a book. Open it up. Read it.
That's it.
It's as simple as that.
Read. Study. And they, if they like what you have to say, tell them about where they can get your book, Trader.
It's available on Amazon at this point, but it's a little difficult to find. I would suggest going to www.gtmobook.com. Gitmobook.com. It's available for Kindle and paperback.
No one ever died from opening up a book. I like that. We'll end with that note. Thank you for being with us, Mr. Terry. And we'll see you hopefully sometime in the future.
Inshallah, I'm always available.
Thank you. And nobody ever died from opening up a book. I mean, if you lost your mother and she sent you a letter and they told you, look, go to this place where you can read it. I mean, I'm telling you, open up this Quran. Get it for free, 1-800-662-ISLAM. We'll send it to you. Read it. Don't shy away. If you're listening to this show, these are the signs that are coming from the Creator. It made sense. Worship the Creator, not His creation. We love Jesus. No Muslim is a Muslim. Muslim is simply one who submits to the will of God. Islam is not about terrifying, killing innocent men, women, and children. It's not about that. The real peacemakers been made to look like the warmongers. This is that false, baloney, phony nonsense. And if you're intelligent enough, which you are, don't let them pull the wool over your eyes. Call upon God alone, and He'll facilitate a way, and go and visit your local masjid, talk to a Muslim, get to know a Muslim, and you have no idea what kind of world can open up for you of goodness, because you can't buy a six-pack of peace. Peace is something that we're all looking for. Purpose. Purpose. Don't you want to know purpose? Well, you might have found it, but if you turn away, hey, then you really be broke, and you don't want that, do you? So do something honorable. And visit us here every week on The Dean Show. Same time, same channel. Until next time, until then, peace be with you.